You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Attacks on Palestinian solidarity organizations and individual activists are escalating in Canada. There has been the defunding of the Canadian Arab Federation and Kairos, the heavy condemnation of Israeli Apartheid Week, and last summer we saw attempts to ban queers against Israeli apartheid from the Toronto Pride Parade. Jenny Pito is a member of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid in Toronto. Her recently completed master's thesis is titled The Victimhood of the Powerful, White Jews, Zionism, and the Racism of Hegemonic Holocaust Education. Her thesis has been the subject of much controversy and debate. Jenny Pito joins me over the phone. Hello, Jenny, and welcome to Vancouver Co-op Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's the central argument of your thesis?
It's been a bit hard to sort of synthesize it in a soundbite. It's like about 120 pages. But basically, what I was looking at was this phenomenon that I saw within my own community. Like, I grew up in a Jewish community just north of Toronto, and there was kind of this disconnect I felt between the privilege that I experienced as a white Canadian growing up in a upper middle class suburb in Toronto, and the level of fear I felt of an impending sort of doom, this victimization. So I sort of grew up feeling both very, very privileged and also very, very heavily victimized. And so that kind of led me to do some academic inquiry into how it is that, Jews of European descent, who I argue are now white people. I did a pretty extensive literature review. It's about 40 pages about all the things that have been written about over the last 60 years, how Jewish people have moved from like a kind of a vilified minority group in North America to being accepted into the mainstream. And I said, so we're this kind of comfortable mainstream average white Canadian group now, and yet somehow we're still seen as the world's greatest victims, even though there are, you know, racialized people who experience a tremendous amount of racism, far more than we would face as Jewish people. And so I looked at sort of how that gets constructed, how that disconnect gets constructed, and I did that through looking at some very, very dominant Holocaust education projects. And in that analysis, I was trying to sort of find out, you know, how does this get done, and then what are the impacts of it? And what I argued was that by sort of constructing ourselves as victims, we first of all get to play the role of victim as opposed to oppressor, both as part of the dominant group in Canadian society and also on the part of the Israeli state getting to commit, you know, horrible atrocities, crimes against humanity, one of the worst human rights records in the world, and yet they're seen as the Jewish state, the victimized state, right? So that was my basic academic pursuit, was to try to understand that disconnect, how it gets created using Holocaust education as a site, and then arguing about the impacts that it has. And so that's what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm. And your thesis generated a lot of controversy. Mm-hmm. How has that affected you?
I mean, it was quite the interesting saga. What I know happened was that some right-wing bloggers found my thesis at U of T now, University of Toronto. You don't actually submit a physical copy of your thesis. You put it up on the internet. And so so someone found it, and they found it because they were Googling me, and that's not a coincidence. You know, I'm known as a pro-Palestinian activist in Toronto. I'm part of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid. I've spoken at and organized Israeli Apartheid Week. You mentioned what happened with Queers Against Israeli Apartheid in Toronto. I was one of the spokespeople at the time. So, some very right-wing pro-Israel bloggers and groups were gunning for me, and they found my thesis and decided to blog about it as this, like, hateful, anti-Semitic, you know, piece of garbage, as they called it. Then the National Post picked it up, then the Canadian Jewish News picked it up, and at that point, the pro-Israel groups kind of went into a frenzy, and it sort of culminated in members of the provincial legislature in Ontario condemning me, which is kind of historic. That's never really happened before, that a master's student would get condemned by a Canadian governmental body. So, I mean, it was quite an ordeal. I think, you know, I received threatening emails, and, you know, people were posting all sorts of horrible things in the blogosphere, which I can't even look at anymore. And so, you know, I was definitely under threat. The media, especially the National Post, were really gunning for me, writing really horrible misrepresentations of the facts. But on the other side, there was this amazing response, right? So with Faculty for Palestine, and then later endorsed by the Palestinian Committee for the Academic and Cultural Boycott of Israel, a call was put out to get people to write letters to to the members of parliament, provincial parliament, that had condemned me, to the leaders of the provincial party, saying, no, this is an unacceptable attack on academic freedom. The response was amazing. Hundreds of people from across the country, from around the world, wrote letters. I got so many supportive emails. I had the support of, you know, the Canadian Association of University Teachers. I had the support of various universities, especially their sociology departments, because my degree's in sociology. You know, they wrote really comprehensive letters. Seriously Free Speech out in Vancouver also wrote a lot of letters. So tons and tons of groups sort of rallied around me. So while it was a pretty horrible experience to be, you know, trashed by members of provincial parliament, by all the major media, it was also an amazing show of force from the movement for boycott, divestment, and sanctions. And I think it sent a really powerful message to the pro-Israel groups that, you know, you can't just pick us off as individuals. We're here as a community, as a global movement. And so I felt an incredible amount of support. It was amazing.
You mentioned that the Ontario legislature debated your thesis, mm-hmm. which seems rather unusual.
Yep.
What was the reasoning behind that?
So, I mean, it's really interesting. You can read the transcript because that's publicly available. And so, what happened was there's a member of provincial parliament from the riding of Thornhill. Ironically, that's the riding that I grew up in. And he's, you know, we joke that he's basically like a member of the Israeli Knesset sitting in the Ontario legislature. He's the one who condemned Israeli apartheid week. He put forward that motion. He's a very, very right-wing conservative MPP. He tried to break the strike at York University. He has a pretty notorious record. And so he worked with this other MPP, Stephen Clark. And they basically, none of them have read it. They all admitted to not having read my thesis. But during, I guess, the question-answer period, they brought it up. Steve Clark demanded that the Liberal Minister of Citizenship and Immigration condemn my thesis as an anti-Semitic piece of garbage. And then instead of the minister saying, you know what, actually this isn't appropriate, the legislature shouldn't be tampering with academic affairs, he said, you know what, it was great that we condemned Israeli Apartheid Week last year. I, of course, condemn this piece of garbage. Then Peter Sherman, the MPP from Thornhill, he went on a bit of a tirade about, you know, the horrible piece of garbage that my work was. And then again, instead of standing up, the Minister of Citizenship reiterated his condemnation. So it was, you know, the typical right-wing forces. But what was so interesting about what they said in the legislature was they linked their condemnation of Israeli Apartheid Week to their condemnation of me. So it was very clear that they were like, you know, we're not coming after you because of your thesis, we're coming after you because you criticize Israel, right? It's criticizing me to them is the same as criticizing Israeli Apartheid Week. And then when he ended off, the Minister of Citizenship and Immigration reminded everyone that Ontario is really good friends with the State of Israel and that they're increasing their economic ties because Ontario has trade agreements with Israel that are very extensive. And there was a trip last spring, our premier and members of his party went to Israel to really forge a lot of economic links between Ontario and Israel, particularly around high tech and particularly around the privatization and commercialization of universities. So what this is actually about, and they admit it, is that they don't want in Ontario anyone criticizing their good friend Israel because of those economic ties, right? And so that's actually an excellent argument for why we do work around boycott, divestment, and sanctions. So we're answering that 2005 call from Palestine saying around the world we want people to boycott, divest, you know, and bring sanctions on Israel until it complies with international law. And this is the perfect sort of way of seeing it all coming together. So in order to defend their economic relationships with Israel, they have to attack pro-Palestinian activists. And so it just kind of fueled our work even further, I think.
And I understand they've also attacked the methodology of your thesis.
It's been really kind of funny. Like the people who've criticized my work, none of them are experts in the field, and I don't in any way mean to be elitist. I think that academic work should be accessible. I think part of why I got attacked also is that my thesis is fairly accessible. I didn't write it in academic jargon, and it's a good thing when lots of people are reading your work. But academic criticism has to have its own level of academic rigor. There, you know, you wouldn't just let someone publish a book review of a book they haven't read. They literally judge this book by their cover. A few people did read it. Again, not sociologists, not, you know, don't know the anti-racist theory, the anti-racist language that I'm using, aren't experts in post-colonial studies. Some of them, I think one of them was a dentist, the other was a teacher, and they you know, sort of criticized my methodology. I'd like to take the opinion of the world-renowned scholars that read it and that are experts in this field, because I come from sociology and equity studies at OISE, Ontario Institute for Studies and Education at U of T, and it's one of the top you know, schools for critical thought in the world. We have amazing, amazing faculty there. And those experts were, you know, said my methodology was sound. The major criticism I received was that I quote, didn't interview anybody. And not actually, that criticism itself shows that people don't understand the academic process. In Canada, if you want to interview anyone as an academic, you have to get Research Ethics Board approval. You have to submit a protocol and use consent forms. It's a very involved process. You can't just pick up the phone and talk to people, especially in this case, talking to teenagers who've just been on these really traumatizing trips to, you know, Holocaust education sites. So it would have been a really, really, really difficult to obtain approval to do that in the first place. And the second thing is, you know, you can't just interview one person. In order to actually have a substantive research project, you need to interview quite a large number of people. And at a master's level, you often don't have time to do that. You know, faculty members do that amount of research because they have research assistants, or people doing their dissertation at the PhD level of 5 to 7 years do that kind of research. But at the master's level, it's actually unusual. What I did was a discursive analysis. I went to all their educational material, their websites, the testimonials, the videos, their promotional material, and researched that. And in the beginning of my thesis, I explained that the reason that I did that was I was actually less interested and never made any claims about the experiences of the people on the trip. I was looking at the motivations of the organizers. And so it's a very valid thing to say, okay, what kind of message are they trying to get across here by looking at their promotional materials and looking at that they have an extensive website. It's got all their tools for teachers, tools for the participants. So I really did an in-depth analysis of their materials, which again, at a master's level and even beyond nowadays with the internet, it's a very valid methodology. So the criticism was coming from people who don't understand the academic process at all.
Has the University of Toronto responded to your criticism?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting because U of T has a pretty bad track record on Palestine. They have interfered with room bookings for students against Israeli apartheid. They have tried to they have in the past and continue to try to charge us security fees for our events. In Toronto, we have the Jewish Defense League, which is an ultra-right extremist organization that just held basically a neo-Nazi rally back in January. They come to our events, they intimidate, they try to attack us, and the university wants to charge us for security fees. So, you know, we have a very obviously tense relationship, and they're not supportive of Palestine. The U of T is constantly increasing its economic ties to Israel, its research ties to Israel. The president has traveled several times to Israel. So I wasn't expecting very much. But what I got from them was a basic statement around academic freedom. And at one point in an interview with the Toronto Star, the provost, Cheryl Mizak, was like, you know, she almost sounded exacerbated. She was like, this is student work. You guys need to stop doing this. And I think they realized that if they didn't defend my academic freedom, you know, they would have had to pay the consequences of that. But I also think, and I think this is some of the good stuff that comes out of these attacks, is it's really, I think the pro-Israel groups are exposing themselves as bullies, as intimidators, and even the University of Toronto, a very conservative, very pro-Israel institution, wasn't standing for this kind of attack because they saw it as an affront to academic freedom, and they also realized that, you know, this could stop students from wanting to do critical research because the whole point of this was to scare people, right? You see this happening to me, and people who might want to do similar work may be afraid of doing it, right? So I think U of T took a very neutral line, but, you know, it was the best I could hope for from them.
Well, thanks very much for talking with me this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Okay. I've been speaking with Jenny Pito. She is a member of the Coalition Against Israeli Apartheid in Toronto and a former graduate student in the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education at the University of Toronto. Jenny will be speaking tonight at a forum entitled Speaking Up for Palestinian Rights, Understanding Recent Attempts to Silence Criticism of Israel in Canada. The forum starts at 6:30 and takes place at SFU Harbour Centre at 515 West Hastings Street in Vancouver. If you're interested, Jenny Pito's thesis, The Victimhood of the Powerful, White Jews, Zionism, and the Racism of Hegemonic Holocaust Education, is available online at the University of Toronto Library website.